Alex?
Let me tell you about Kinderman.
I've swapped complete failure as a Kickstarter.
Star Fox Command is the first game that you get to be Anthony Birch.
The first of many fuck yous. Like a fucking Looney Tunes?
Stipulation was behave yourself and keep your dick in your pants, and you have not followed through on that.
Hey, Alex.
Yes, Ted?
Let me tell you about the Cal Arts art style. Now, Cal Arts is it's the hot new meme. And it seems to be a connection shared with just about every cartoon currently playing on American television. It's been kind of in the background until very recently Cartoon Network showed off a Thundercats reboot in the same Cal Arts quote-unquote style. And as Alex would say, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. All it takes is one more person to do something to shit all over it.
Well, all it takes is one guy to do some stupid shit for the entire world to point and laugh at them.
Exactly. So the CalArts, now CalArts as a descriptor, it's referring to the California Institute of the Arts, and the Cal Arts doesn't really have a style, as it's a school. Where it comes from is that a lot of the people that started working on cartoons like Adventure Time and things like that came from Cal Arts. And then a lot of these cartoons kept having the same art style for a few reasons that I'll get into. But that the generic Cal Arts art style is an abundance of rounded shapes, worm smiles, simple and very thin lines that don't vary in thickness, and an overall just very friendly look. A lot of round edges, simple character design using the circle, square, triangle, that very base character design, and just everything looks kind of the same.
So the thing that I dislike about this style is, okay, so all these cartoons have been coming out lately. You get like your Steven Universe, you get your Gravity Falls, really recently, like 2012. All these like post-2010 cartoons all share this very similar style, which a lot of people are disliking greatly because it makes everything look the goddamn same. It's like a retreading of the very old Hanna-Barbera era, where everything looked, all the Hanna-Barbera cartoons, all reused assets, were incredibly low budget, blah, 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 blah. You get the idea. It's like that, but, in 2018.
Yeah, and there's a few reasons why this art style exists. The number one reason is it's really fucking easy to animate, and it's much cheaper than cartoons of the 90s and 2000s. If you compare something like, SWAT Cats to something like Adventure Time. And Adventure Time does have episodes that are very, very intimate and like very crazy with how it's animated. There's one with a train episode that I remember always looked pretty cool. But that's the main reason why, because at the end of the day, cartoons are made for money.
Well, everything is.
Yeah, so that's the number one reason, is that it's really easy to animate and it's cheap. The second reason is there was huge successes with Adventure Time, Gumball, and Gravity Falls, which all used this character design process where they have, if you just look at a screenshot from all three, you look at not so much Adventure Time, because Adventure Time was really at the start of it. But if you look at Gumball, the character design of the main characters in Gumball, not the rest of the show, because the rest of the show uses like a million different art styles in a really cool way. But if you look at the characters from Gravity Falls, Star vs. Evil, and a few of the other shows on Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, you can overlay them on top of each other.
You can see the similarities in why people are getting kind of sick of the same face bullshit. If poor artists can't do it, why can't our cartoons?
But yeah, those all of those shows have been doing very, very well, so why change? It's a good medium ground. If you look at if you want it done good, you want it done fast, or you want it done cheap. You can't have all three. So if you want something, if you look at something like Motor City only had one season because it was very expensive to make because it looked really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Problem Solvers looked like complete fucking shit, and I think it got two seasons. And it looked like complete shit.
I mean, hey, at least it wasn't Cal Arts, am I right, bros?
But Cal Arts is kind of a good medium ground between that cost to quality ratio, where it costs less than Motor City and slightly more than Problem Solvers. Another reason is that people like seeing similar things. People will gravitate more to things that they're familiar with than they will completely different art styles, unless that's their thing. If you take the average Joe Schmo off the street and show them a cartoon, they're going to be like, oh, well, I've seen Adventure Time, so I'll watch this one, I guess, because it's got those noodle limbs. It looks familiar. And, like, all things considered, the art style honestly isn't, like, it's not that fucking bad. Like, I've seen some really shitty art styles. If you look at everything, it's not that bad.
Like, Problem Solvers are fucking 12-ounce mouse. Remember that from Adult Swim?
Yeah, like, there's a good mix. I think CalArts hit that CalArts quote-unquote style hits this pretty well. And it really, like Alex said, it really kind of picked off in about 2010. Because that was when Adventure Time came out, when Phineas and Ferb were around, and it became cool and acceptable to like cartoons. You could wear an Adventure Time shirt to your high school and it wouldn't be a big deal because Adventure Time's cool.
Because it became part of like nerd culture, which was also like really cool at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually very upset that I could not buy an Ice King Hawaiian shirt from like the Wheel of Fine website. Because I waited, Alex, like a year because I forgot about it. It was $45, but it was like it was a black, which is very weird for a Hawaiian shirt. It was a black and blue polo, or not polo, a Hawaiian shirt, that had like frozen palm trees, Ice King, and Gunter on it. Adventure Time, I actually really liked it. The most recent episode, once I kind of moved away from home, I didn't have cable anymore. So I kind of lost track of it. The newest episode I remember was one with the spiders having relationship problems with like a spider wife or something. The newest episode I've seen past that, I saw the one with like the purple guy. No, it was the one with Finn's dad.
He's a dad?
And I saw the one. Yeah, he has a dad, and his dad's like a shitty space wizard that just takes advantage of his son to escape prison and just fucks off like immediately. Okay. And that was like a whole. And right there, that ties into the whole Adventure Time was like a resurgence of comedy cartoons that weren't just one-off wacky adventures. You had action cartoons like Teen Titans, which were, you know, here's an action cartoon with a story that goes across the whole season that has an overarching plot elements. Adventure Time had that while also still being a goofy comedy show. Granted, Adventure Time was also like really meandering with its plot. I don't think in like the six seasons I've missed, the plot has moved that far.
See, what I know from Adventure Time is, okay. So, when it was getting like really big, I still wasn't really watching it because fuck, I don't watch TV. But I was at someone's house once and they actually had a TV with cable and shit and it's on. I'm like, you know what? Let's give this show a shot. So I saw two episodes of this show. One episode where Finn and Jake have to go into a like giant worm or something. There's like a bunch of gnomes in there having a rave party. And then another episode where Finn turns into like a hugging werewolf and just runs around hugging people at like the middle of the night. And I'm like, man, this is a show for chicks, ain't it?
I remember one joke from the Hug Wolf episode where he breaks into someone's house to try and hug him. And like the dad kicks down the door holding a candy cane and audibly going, get out of here! And like shooting at Finn.
I don't remember that part.
But yeah, Adventure Time really opened up the door for shows like Regular Show, Steven Universe, and other, like, for lack of a better word, cool cartoons. Another show that's more recent, I mentioned Teen Titans earlier, and I just want to, big mood, whoop. Uh-oh. Teen Titans Go is a good show.
He said it. He said the thing. Oh no.
Now, I watched the original Teen Titans. I had a video game, which had the really fun gimmick of being able to play as literally every single enemy. I liked Teen Titans. I kept up with it at the same time as I kept up with Dragon Ball Z. And I understand being butthurt at the cliffhanger ending. I get it.
Who is Slade?
Teen Titans Go is a different show.
Who is Slade?
It's meant to be dumb and stupid and goofy. It's not. It's the fucking movie has Nicolas Cage as Spider-Man. Oh yeah, by the way, this got a movie and Teen Titans did it. What did I say?
You said Spider-Man.
Same thing. It's meant to just be this dumb one-off thing, and honestly, like, it's pretty funny. I was watching a few videos when the movie was announced, and the trailer was like, "Oh, this is for, you know, this is for kids. Like, it's a cartoon. It's not trying to be more mature like the original Teen Titans was." And there was a video, I think it was Letterman, David Letterman's show, where they had the Teen Titans Go characters reading off tweets of people saying how shitty their trailer is. And stuff like that. The movie looks fun. It makes fun of the fact that 99% of the DC movies suck ass, and that no one likes them at all.
Did you have a movie, Green Lantern? Yeah, I had a movie, but we don't talk about it.
It's funny. It has, like, a lot of really good goofs that I was not expecting. And like I said, I don't have cable right now. The way that I would see Teen Titans Go is I would go to the comic shop to play Friday Night Magic, and it would just be playing on the TV because it would be like... So a few of the complaints that I'm aware of with Teen Titans Go is, number one, people are mad because the original Teen Titans ended on a cliffhanger expecting to get a movie and a resolution, and it never did. So this coming out a few years later is like, oh, well, okay, well, fuck off then. You know, I'm mad about that, and I get it. I get that. I read Homestuck, okay? I read Homestuck. I understand how you feel. The other reason that I've heard of is that I guess for the studio, and I'm not even sure if this is true or not, but that it was replacing Young Justice, which whomst the actual fuck cares about Young Justice?
Okay.
It is...
What even is Young lame. Justice?
It is the fucking... Okay. So, you know that TV show that a bunch of other people liked but you never watched? The animated Justice League?
I thought it was okay.
I never watched it because I didn't care. I had Ultimate Spider-Man to watch.
I liked it. It was all serious and shit.
But, okay, so take that, but then just have a bunch of superheroes that the only people who know about them are people who read comics.
Or like the actual bigwig nerd guys.
Yeah, how many people do you know in your life who have read a comic book?
Me.
Like, I read comic books. I have the entirety of the Rick and Morty comic series, which I read in between my Mensa meetings. I have the entirety of the Vindicators. I have the entirety of, like, the Pocket Mortys. They had a whole spinoff with that. I've got all of Little Poopy Superstar. I got them all. I got the Pickle Rick cover variant into like a fucking bag and board.
Pickle Rick!
Right? Pickle Rick! Pickle Ree! Pickle Ree!
I can feel my IQ rising.
Yeah, but comic books with superheroes, like, every time I've been recommended one, it's always like, hey, read this specific run in 1992 by this artist for Spider-Man. And it's like, well... Okay, I mean, alright, that's very specific. You're not able to just pick up a comic book and continue from there. Even if you are, a lot of what I've heard is that this isn't very good. Because comic books, there's a whole fucking thing going on with comic books, with how they're appealing to, like, new audiences, but fucking it up spectacularly. Comic books seem like a very bad investment of my $4. I could buy a Magic the Gathering booster pack with that.
I could buy a bunch of candy with that.
Teen Titans Go is funny. I like it, and I also like the original Teen Titans, so fuck you. I think it's fine. I will watch the movie.
I cannot remember, like, much about the original Teen Titans. I remember playing this one Flash game on the fucking Cartoon Network website that you could, like, play as, like, the good guys and those bad guys from the fucking, like, Hive, whatever the fuck it is. You know, like, they had the H. I remember that the Mammoth guy couldn't kick because he had those weird iron shoes. I remember that. That's it. I don't remember anything else about the game other than he couldn't kick, because that really stood out to me, apparently. I remember...
This is the part where we don't start kicking.
I remember the one episode with Beast Boy, who's like a vegan or some shit for some reason, right?
He goes to this burger because he turns into animals, Alex.
Animals eat other animals, dickweed.
Shut up.
All animals do is eat other animals. It's like their only fucking goal in life is to not die and then kill something else. Anyway, I digress. Anyway, he goes to this burger place and gets like a job there, a part-time job. It's the most filler episode fucking ever.
Oh, I remember this episode.
And like, it turns out that all the burgers he's making are actually all made of tofu. And like, this evil tofu alien like created all this shit. And Beast Boy's just like, but why? This plan doesn't really seem to give you much, sir. And the answer's like, you know, I didn't actually think this all through. Or whatever the fuck. And then, like, Beast Boy just eats him because he's tofu and it's vegan still.
But Alex, Teen Titans are very serious.
Teen Titans is such a good show. So deep, dude. Who is Slade? Who is Slade? I remember going to the fucking movie theater and seeing a fucking this commercial for the Teen Titans whatever, for like the new season. And it had this like grid pattern of Robin in red going, "Who is Slade? Who is Slade? Who is Slade?" Like repeating it over and over. So like skip 10 years into the future. Where I fucking talk to my fucking, my boy Alva here, and I ask him, "Hey Alva, you like comics, right?" And he's like, "Yee." And I'm like, "Hey, who the fuck is Slade anyway?" He's like, "His name is Slade. It's Slade Wilson. He's Deathstroke. They just called him Slade because Deathstroke was too hardcore for a kid's show. Like, he wasn't anyone special." Because like, I remember one of, like, the final episodes of, like, the season or whatever, or was it the show, Robin, like, fucking kicks Slade in the head, and, like, his mask breaks off. He covers his head with his hand, and then runs away, but it's all shadowed out. I'm like, is that important? And then he shows me in Justice 1 where it's one of Deathstroke's costumes where he's unmasked, and he's like, "No, he's just a guy."
The best part about that is as a child, I didn't have the internet. I didn't have a computer until I was like 15. Not, I don't know. Before I was 15. Old enough to play RuneScape, but not old enough to know not to play RuneScape. And I never knew who Slade was either. I had no idea.
I could have Googled it, but it was never like interesting enough to where I would go like, "Who is Slade?" You know, like I was just kind of like, "Oh yeah, I remember that show. Hey, who's Slade?"
So one of the... So like I was saying, Adventure Time was kind of the catalyst or whatever to start this era of 2010 cartoons. And one thing I want to say before I move on is that no matter what you think of modern cartoons, no matter what you think about anything, Over the Garden Wall was only made because of clout gained through Adventure Time. And Over the Garden Wall is really fucking good. And the only reason it got funded it had to be because of Adventure Time, because there was like 12 episodes. It was very good looking animation, and it wasn't like it wasn't a cartoon that would be aimed for children. It was like such a weird choice for Cartoon Network, but it's super good. Go watch it if you haven't.
Okay, so what I want to say about Thundercats Roar, because this is the start of this whole fucking episode.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about Thundercats Roar, huh? So this piece of shit show comes out with its fucking trailer, and the first second in, all right, and I was like, "Thundercats Roar, Thundercats reboot." I hit play. First second in, Lion-O, I think his name's fucking Lion-O, whatever the fuck. Lion guy walks in, and oh, oh, jeez, it looks awful. I'm gonna judge my entire opinion immediately based on this. It's kind of like when you see just like a toothless hick at a fucking pawn shop. Like, you know the guy's a bad person. He could donate half of his money to charity, but he's not a good soul. Look at him. Look at the way he looks. Look at, this is how he presents himself to public. He can't be all that great on the inside either. So when this show immediately presents itself with Lionel with his big, blocky, undetailed limbs, walks in with his big old bean grin and his little dot eyes, says, "Hi there, everybody, I'm Bitch Boy from the Thundercats, and we're making a new show, a Die of Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight," and it just goes zooming in through the CalArts, like, studio or whatever, goes to the fucking Cartoon Network head, goes to the guy named Victor Courtwright who made this show, and he has the dumbest looking little top knot going on, and he looks like he just drank 3 bottles of fucking chocolate flavored soy milk, and he's like, "Hey guys, I'm a big fan of the original Thundercats, so I'm gonna fucking make it my personal responsibility to ruin it." Here's why people have pissed off Thundercats for Ted. This actually kind of hit me earlier when I was taking a piss. It's not that Thundercats, like, no one's really caring that much for the Thundercats IP. No one really cares that much. Like, it's just okay. It's kind of like He-Man, where He-Man's, like, bad, but, like, still kind of loved as being iconic. Thundercats is just, like, okay and loved for being iconic. You know what I mean? It's more of a, it's that the CalArts art style is being used lazily across new cartoons and new cartoons, but now the CalArts style is being forced onto a show that previously existed without it. Now it seems like it's an infectious disease ruining things that you did somewhat care about.
And I saw somewhere, I think it was one of the artists on Twitter talking about it, but if it's just a cash grab, because, and just like, you know, just like every fucking cartoon, but anyone who saw the original Thundercats was born in like the 70s, you know, it was an 80s cartoon. I've never seen Thundercats.
Like, was it on Boomerang at all?
I'm sure it was on... I saw Popeye at Boomerang, so...
Like, I saw fucking He-Man on Boomerang.
But, like, I don't give a fuck about Thundercats. You don't give a fuck about Thundercats. The only people who give a fuck about Thundercats are people 30 years ago. So the only audience that you have is, like, kids now. So you have this very not visually appealing or unique art style that looks exactly like a mix of OKKO, but with, like, a filter put on it to make it really smooth. You know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. So, another thing. I never gave a shit about Thundercats, really. The only thing I really dislike is just how... I'm just worried, like, what's next? What are they gonna CalArtsify next? Like, I don't like Thundercats. I'm a He-Man guy. Where's CalArts He-Man, huh? What about that one, Cartoon Network? Where's fucking CalArts SWAT Cats? Where's fucking CalArts G.I. Joe? Let's put it on everything.
Where is CalArts Cat Dog Nickelodeon?
Where's CalArts Street Sharks?
You're letting them leave you in the dust, Street Sharks. Where's CalArts Jabberjaw? Because there was CalArts Scooby-Doo. Well, okay, the Scooby-Doo one, What's Cool Scooby, or Stay Cool Scooby-Doo, or whatever the fuck. That one looks more like Family Guy, which is a little bit weird. By the way, okay, there was a Scooby-Doo series somewhat recently. It was before the Family Guy one that was unironically actually really good. It had really funny writing, and I remember it because the only thing I really remember about it was chuckling at a few jokes and that they turned Velma into the sexy one.
Oh,
that's all I remember about it. So speaking of thick, Alex, there's another cartoon that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, okay, so when it comes to these CalArts, like, new cartoons or whatever the fuck, we're just gonna use that as a meme now. We're not even gonna, like, try to pretend we care about the fucking meaning of it anymore. The new cartoons I like is the show called OKKO. Yeah, but you thought it was gonna be Steven Universe. Nah, dude, fuck Steven Universe. That show sucks. See, OKKO is basically Steven Universe, but objectively better in every single fucking way. Now, let me tell you about OKKO. So, it's a fucking cartoon made by, I'm going to butcher his goddamn name. It's Ian Jones Cordy, who actually used to run this webcomic on the internet, just like we did, Tad. He's like you and me.
Yeah, Alex, that webcomic that you deleted without letting me download everything and save it, you know? That
I'm glad that you didn't download and save it. I don't want people to see that. You do, because Alex, you didn't make it.
Alex, it was unironically, like, one out of every 14 pages was actually really funny.
Ted, we're untalented hacks. That's why we talk for money. Anyway.
Untalented hacks. That's why I do a podcast.
Yep. Dude, doing podcasts is the let's make a band of 2018. Alright, so as I was saying, he used to make this webcomic, which was like this JRPG, like, mockery kind of thing, a parody comic. And I guess he decided to say, fuck that, and made a show. He actually goes to 4chan's Coboard, and he, I was talking about his show there before he actually got hired, fun fact. Before he got brought on. So he actually made a pilot way back in, like, 2013 called Liquid Plaza Turbo. Look, now that looked CalArts as fuck. Like, holy shit, it looked really fucking, it had more of an Adventure Time kind of thing with the noodly arms, as opposed to the weird smoothness that it has now. And it had this very weird stylization for their noses. Like, you know that old red nose meme that everyone would complain about when it came to, like, Tumblr art? He kind of had that going on.
Yeah, we're talking about that, Animal Crossing schnoz.
Yeah, and it was really weird narrow eyes. Like, everything looks really weird, and I can see why they held off on giving him a full show for, like, 5 years. But now that he has a show, okay, KO, it came out really well. So here's what the show is about. It's about this little boy named KO. He lives in a world full of superheroes. Every single person is a superhero. Like, everybody. There's no, like, superheroes and then civvies. No, every civvy is a hero in some kind of way. They all have their own little gimmicky superpowers or, like, weird-looking, like, form. And his mom works at a plaza, at Lakewood Plaza Turbo. And she works at a fitness dojo. It's kind of like this outdoor, like, mini mall thing, you know, one of those strip malls, or what those are called. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Kind of like how GameStop's always connected to, like, six different fucking stores. It's like that.
Yeah, yeah. I gotcha.
So, yeah, she brings him to work, and he wants to go to this place called Gars. It's a big, like, convenience store for superheroes. It's got everything. There are two people who work there named fucking Rad and Enid. Some bullshit happens, and blah, blah, blah. He ends up becoming a fucking employee there. And Rad and Enid become, like, his best bros, right? And Mr. Gar, the guy who runs the store, is level 11, which, at the point of me talking about this, is the highest level a hero can be that we've seen. He's really fucking strong. He always likes to jump in, say some cool advice, like, destroy a robot and leave. He's, like, really awesome. But he has a crush on OK's, he has a crush on KO's mom, and he's, like,
okay.
A fucking nerd. Whew.
Okay, you held up for a second there, and
no.
I was really concerned.
No, don't worry. No. He has a crush on KO's
remember,
mom.
I don't know shit about this. I thought, like, KO might have been, like,
no,
an adult.
No, he's like a little 8-year-old boy. How he got a job, I don't know. It doesn't make sense, but anyway.
It's called child labor.
Yeah, bro. So, he likes his mom, and fucking... He's always, like, he's incredibly strong, stern, like, yells at him to get back to work. Whenever she's around, he's, like, a fucking, like, little anime boy. He just fucking, like, cannot talk to her. It's, like, a cute little character trait. But anyway, right across the street from this plaza is an evil supervillain robot factory called Boxmore that makes money selling evil robot minions to supervillains. So they're at constant fucking odds with each other. You've got the good guys over on the good guy side, but then over on Boxmore... You've got, well, Lord Boxman, who's this, you know, like every superhero show's got to have one. The evil mad scientist guy who looks kind of like the robot chicken mascot because he has, like, the one, the eye, a chicken hand, the weird, like, hair. And he's got his three robot children. He's got Shannon, Daryl, and Raymond. Like, Shannon's, like, this golden robot who can, like, transform into anything. You've got Daryl, who's just kind of, like, the main mook guy who doesn't seem to do many, like, abilities other than shoot lasers. He's also, like, really, like, obnoxious. Then you've got Raymond, who's, like, all, like, sporty, romantic-y. And he's, like, green and has a really big nose.
So he's, like, Vega.
Yeah, he's Vega, but with sports. Because he's a sports romantic. You've got Michaela. Those are the three main ones. You get, like, the little, like, side robots that also kind of help sometimes. You have Michaela, who's a little robot cat who's a reverse furry. I'll get into that later, maybe. You've got Jethro, who's the boy, who's a little robot with little tank treads that can do two things. Move forward and say, I am Jethro. And you've got Ernesto, who's this big purple business bot who does who files taxes and shit for the company. And then for some reason, in season two, they made him actually a full on character. And now he helps them fight, which is like really cool. But
this is a solid concept for a show. I'm with it so far. I'm digging it.
Yeah. And the reason I say that it's way better than, like, say, Steven Shitiverse, and I don't like Steven Universe. I've been watching that show forever. KOKKO kind of provides very similar content, where you have your lighthearted little misadventures while still underneath that, a deeper thing kind of going on, right? Or like Adventure Time, like you mentioned earlier. It's got kind of a nice balance of both. Well, it's CalArts meme style is actually used to, well, most of the time is used for an effect to actually be humorous. Characters will make very weird expressions or twist their bodies in comedic ways for visual humor. They will bend the rules just for fun. Like, little examples will be like, they want to look at something, his eyeballs will bulge out and he'll grab onto his eyes like binoculars. Or like when they're trying to sneak past Mr. Gar, and Mr. Gar will just be in between the aisles, like wide and shaped like a fucking brick, like, "What are you two doing?" and yell at him. He'll always just be like, "There." You get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it provides the same kind of like content, but the biggest thing is its pacing isn't fucking horrible. Also, it doesn't have the bomb format, but hey, maybe it'll get that later. It's still pretty early in the show's development right now. But when it comes to Steven Universe...
Well, hold on, what the fuck is the bomb format?
Alright, so any Steven Universe fan hates this shit. So Steven Universe doesn't show, like, a new episode every week. It doesn't just, like, oh, here's season 4, we're gonna do a new episode every week until, like, these episodes are up, right? It'll be like, here's season 4, you guys have been waiting 6 months for some episodes, here's 4 episodes. 6 months later, here's 4 more episodes. Okay, you know that episode of South Park where Cartman has the amusement park? Where he's like, "Hey, I have the best student park ever, and you can't come! Oh, there's rides, it's so awesome, and none of you can enter, especially you, Stan and Kyle!" That is literally that is literally Steven Universe. It's,
well, Alex,
man, we just made
that breaks down
episodes.
Once you realize that people actually want, people have fun in an amusement park. Nobody has fun watching Steven Universe.
People
the homestuck of animation.
People only like Steven Universe because after starving, groveling on the ground, dragging their limp legs to fucking Cartoon Network's headquarters saying, "Please," they're like, "Okay, here's 4 episodes about the townies. Hey, you guys wanted to see what Mr. Smiley's been up to? Of course you did!" See, what makes OKKO way better is that its side character episodes don't distract from the overall focus and feeling and flow of the show. Let me give an example. So, let's say, oh, there's a giant monster in the core of the Earth and we're all going to die. Hey, let's have Steven Universe go hang out with Sadie for an episode and not deal with the important thing. Now, let's compare that to one of the first side character episodes I can think of was Real Magic Skeleton and his friend, who's like this bear, who I actually don't think is like has a superhero name. I think his name is like Dave or something. Like, he just has a regular name. They're two dudes who work at a framing store. Real Magic Skeleton's basically just a papyrus-looking motherfucker. And then you have the bear, who's just a bear with a t-shirt, that the t-shirt constantly changes to whatever he's feeling in that scene. So say, like, okay, like, say, okay, KO will fucking walk in, and he'll be like, "Hey, guys, how you doing?" And it'll be, like, "Happy." And then, like, his boss will come and yell at him, and his shirt will say, "Bummed out." It'll just constantly change, right?
I like it.
So, like, their episode is they need to frame this motorcycle hat from this crazy, huge, scary-looking biker villain guy, right? And throughout the whole thing, the bear's just being, like, a lazy asshole. And the skeleton, Real Magic Skeleton, wants to get a new job. So he's going through this whole thing, like, this job hunt. But he doesn't want to ditch his bro. Because even if he is kind of an asshole, they are best bros in the whole wide world. They've been through everything together and shit, right? So the episode's just entirely focused on them. But as they're doing this adventure, they get in the middle of a fucking fight with the main gang and the robots. So you still get the flow of the fucking show and things still happen. They still get involved with everything because the side characters are still superheroes because everyone in this world is a hero. It's not like, say, in Steven Universe where, oh, some episodes will focus on the important characters that actually move things along with the gems and stuff. But no, half the characters aren't gems and not even involved. They don't even, like, live near them. They're like the other side of fucking town. Everything is centered around Liquid Plaza Turbo or Boxmore. It's got way better flow.
Mm-hmm. It actually, I've been reading a lot of, there was this web serial that came out in like 2011 called Worm. I started reading that on a recommendation, and it's pretty similar concept where it's, but you know, a lot, you know, not a cartoon, a much more serious, like, you know, take on it. But it's got that same thing where there's just like a million different superheroes, all with all these like different, in Worm, not so wacky abilities, you know, more like serious stuff. But it seems to have that same kind of concept of a world where there's just superheroes and supervillains fucking everywhere. And people they just learn to deal. This is the world now. Here we go. It's not that big a deal.
One of the things I really like, though, is that throughout OKKO, so far anyway, every single episode has kept a very consistent level of, like, humor. The only episode I say I wouldn't really have liked was actually a relatively newer one, where it's Mr. Gar... Spoilers, by the way, for anyone who hasn't really been kept up with Season 2 for some reason. Mr. Carr and Mr. Garrett finally, like, nutted up and talked with KO's mom, and now they're, like, actually together. So they had their own little, like, date episode, which wasn't really all that funny. That was more of just, like, a lore episode. And I kind of hope they avoid doing that too often. It's okay here and there just to kind of move forward with the characters, like, how they're acting towards each other. But if you could do that, at least make sure it's still, like, got all that, you know, that humor. Because you're able to do it previously before, so just, you know, keep at it. Oh, also, side note. Remember how I mentioned earlier, Ian used to have a webcomic that was, like, pretty popular? He actually ended the webcomic in OKKO.
Ooh!
What happens is that just in one episode, KO meets the main character from his webcomic, and he reveals where he's been all these years, and he's been grinding in order to fight the big bad guy. So, like, the episode actually, KO leaves the episode so it can focus on the hero, and he can finish the comic and give it an ending that he never was able to do online, because he got busy
with
work.
That's actually pretty fucking legit.
Yeah. It's a very fun show. That's pretty much all I can really say about it. It's fun, it's got good flow, it's got good pacing. Unlike Steven Universe, which, you know, starves me, beats me, makes me fucking want to die, and gives me, like, two episodes about Lars. Oh, I'm loving this. Know what I fucking hate the most? Big mood. Okay, fucking Lars. Okay, spoilers. This was a little while ago. Lars fucking dies out in outer space with Steven. Yeah, he, out of everyone who goes to outer space, it's him with Steven. He fucking dies and Steven manages to use his powers to revive him as, like, a weird zombie. So he can't just teleport back home like Steven can. So he and the other, like, fucking rejects that live on the fucking, like, homeworld planet, the off-colors they're called, because they're all, like, deformed and shit. They, like, hijack a ship. Okay, so Steven hasn't seen him for months, because Steven's really good at caring about other people, apparently. Steven goes to check on him. He's in a spaceship in a big cape, leading a fucking, like, his squad through outer space going through adventures. He's been having a way better show off-screen. Because in Steven Universe, the only interesting things can happen in very little detailed flashbacks or just straight up off-screen and we never see it. That way, we can go hang out with Mr. fucking Smiley and see how Sadie's doing in her band.
So, all right. I remember you screaming about Sadie's song. Is that what this is referencing?
No, because Sadie has a bunch of episodes, and Sadie's a piece of shit. Okay, I'm going to talk... Let me tell you about Sadie. So fucking Sadie is this fat, short, little fucking piece of shit girl who works at the donut shop with Lars, and they have this, like, on-again, off-again, like, they should be open about their feelings and date, but they don't because they're stupid, like, thing going on, right? Where Lars is like a fucking... Lars is Squidward. He's just an asshole and is, like, opening up to people, even though deep down he likes Sadie. And Sadie's just kind of like a nervous wreck because she's fat, a loser, has an overbearing mom. She's just like me, bros. And she feels just like a fucking self-insert just thrown goddamn in there by either Rebecca Sugar herself or some other piece of shit hack. And I fucking hate her. And I can tell she's a self-insert because, like I keep shit on the Mr. Smiley episode. At least Mr. Smiley had one episode. He had just that one. That was it. He's been a side character, but he's just had one episode focused around him. Sadie's had, like, four. So, here's the big thing. Sadie's song tiggers me hard. Because it happens during, like, It's either like when they're looking for Peridot or after they find Peridot and she says there's the cluster. Basically, there's two things going on. Either they're looking for a fugitive who could kill them, or the entire planet's about to blow up. So Steven's like, you know, boy, time to go see how what Sadie's up to.
It would be like if you were in the middle of like the fucking Cell Saga and Goku's up there doing some cool shit. And it just cuts to fucking Bulma or Chi-Chi at home doing something.
Doing housework. Like, Gohan's like, hey, Dad. Like, and he's like, what, son? Is he getting punched in the face by Cell? Mom's gonna be pissed if I don't show up to study in the next 2 hours. Can I, like, take a break from the tournament real fast? Like, oh, sure. Go ahead, Gohan. You know how Chi-Chi gets when she gets pissy. So he would, do, like, a timeout pose to Cell, walk over, instant transmission Gohan to Chi-Chi's place, then instant transmission back to Cell. Then, as Gohan's doing his study, he's still in Super Saiyan form, by the way, as he's like opening the book, fucking writing his little book, and Chi-Chi's like giving him fucking like steak or something. You hear on the TV, oh, I can't believe Goku just did that? That's awesome! Oh man, you gotta be here to see this shit! That's basically Steven Universe. But anyway, Sadie's song, there's a bunch of episodes like Sadie's song, but Sadie's song stands out because the whole plot of the episode is Sadie is like down in her shitty basement room that's all dirty and watches like nerd movies. And the cool kids that Steven managed to befriend because they like that Steven's like, I don't know, not a fucking dumb shit. Because he's just like a little kid. He's just like a little kid, so they like him. So the cool kids hang out with Sadie for the fucking goddamn reason. And they find out that she's actually a pretty good singer. And oh, I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead. Sorry, just fuck the cool kids. That's the second Sadie song episode. My bad.
What?
Sorry, I forgot she had four episodes. Whoops. Sorry. Yeah. Whoops. Spoiler: Sadie joins the cool kids in a fucking rock band. Whoopsie. That's later. This one is Steven finds out Sadie's talented as a singer, and Sadie's mom's like, "Wow, Pumpkin, you're the fucking best. Oh, I'm gonna tell everybody." Blah 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 blah. She's like a very overbearing mother, and the minute like Sadie does anything, she like blows it out of proportion, right? So Sadie's like, "Eh, fuck off, mom. I can't just do anything with my hobbies." And the episode's just like, it's just this fucking teenage girl bitching that her mom loves her too much. Like, it's such a waste of time. Feels like a horrible self-insert episode. And there are way better things going on. Also, Steven dresses up like a girl in that episode, too, which is weird.
Is that the one where he walks, like, putting his hands out to his side?
No, like, that's like, wait, that's like season one.
Why? Why does he do that?
Because Steven is a fucking dumb man-child who never went to school. He doesn't actually know anything. Fun fact.
Okay, Alex, I really genuinely don't know this. So he has a dad, right?
Yes, Greg. He lives at the fucking in his van.
Why does he not live with his father? Why does he live with four strangers?
Okay, so his dad lives in a van. So it's a shitty little place. Now, his dad isn't a bad guy. A lot of people shit on Greg because he looks bad, but, like, he's a nice guy. He's just a loser. He loves Steven. He's a good dad and is always there and hangs out with his son all the fucking time. Like, there's an episode where he ends up saving the fucking day. He has one of those, he has a Hercule moment, right? Like, he's a good boy. The reason that Steven doesn't live with his dad is because Rose specifically wanted Steven to be trained by the Crystal Gem, so Greg helped them build a house over on the beach by their, like, crazy, freaky gem temple. So that way they could still live in the temple and Steven could live right by and in the little, like, house.
So why doesn't Greg live in the nice house?
That's a really good question.
Son, Steven.
I have been asking that question a lot, and I've come to the realization it's actually because Pearl's a petty bitch and doesn't want Greg near the house because Greg took Rose from Pearl, and Pearl's a fucking dumb I hate Pearl, dude.
She Pearl's sounds so like, funny. I think the proper term is thunder cunt.
She's a thunder thought, bro.
Thunder thought.
But Greg likes his van, because even, like, spoilers, when he ends up making up $10 bazillion off of his old manager using his song for a commercial, which then, because legally he had to pay the guy who originally wrote the song, comes by and gives him a check, Greg still lives in the van. He just likes it. But anyway, he's a good boy. Pearl's an awful character. Amethyst is a fat, lazy piece of shit who teaches all the wrong goddamn morals. Can I talk about Amethyst real fucking fast?
I give you the floor.
All right, all right. So Anythirst is purple.
She's the one with the pink face, right?
She's the one with the fucking butthole lips. So Amethyst
was gonna say pig face, but I guess butthole lips is just as equal of a descriptor.
So Amethyst is short, fat, talks like a fucking, talks like a little rude fucking black girl from the Proud Family. What was her goddamn name?
I know who you're talking about. The one that was like a rebellious teenager.
Yeah, she sounds like that. She sounds like a fucking Proud Family character. She's like the rookie of the team, right? You've got Pearl, who's been there since the beginning. You have Garnet, who, despite not being there from the beginning, is the team leader. Did you know Garnet's the team leader? I always thought when I was first watching the show that it was Pearl, because she gives the most fucking screen time and is like the actual parental figure to Steven early on.
I thought it was Steven, because I know that like the gem in his stomach is like his mom or something.
Well, yeah, technically he would be, but he has to learn first, right? you know? He's got to be taught how to actually like fight. He knows that now, but like let's pretend this is like the earlier seasons, right? So he's not. Anyway. So Armrest's whole fucking deal is that out of all the, like, because she's like a soldier type, out of all these soldier types that are there, she actually popped out late, so she's all deformed. So she's short and fat instead of like big and ripped, like all the other fucking soldiers are supposed to be. And she's real self-fucking-conscious about it, that she's like short and like the rookie and blah blah blah, and she constantly complains and constantly nags about trying to like prove herself and all that bullshit early on. And her whole like goal, her whole like message after like all this shit is, rather than actually overcome your strength or pull a Worgen from WoW and make it your strength or make your curse your strength, she just kind of like accepts the fact that she's short and a loser and gives up.
Literally me.
Yeah, like, literally me. She teaches you the worst goddamn lesson ever. On top of teaching you the worst goddamn lesson, she's also a completely unlikable character, because she's just this fat slob who's just rude to everybody. She's not helpful. She's a fucking detriment. The only one who isn't a detriment is fucking Garnet, because Pearl has very, very repeatedly, like, almost killed fucking Steven because of her goddamn obsession with Rose. Like, fun fact, so Rose turned into Steven basically when he was born, right? She's inside of him in the gemstone, because the gem is what the person is, right? The rest of it is just like a hologram projection, but with mass. Nice mass. Wink. Fucking Pearl was originally thinking about ripping the gem out of Steven. Like, she just wanted to kill him right fucking there. She tried to build a rocket ship to fly into space and try to also kill Steven during that, too. Oh, dude. She's just so needy. She's nagging. She's got a big, dumb nose. Oh, my God, dude. She's ugly. Like, she's just, like, unappealing in every fucking way. I hate Pearl. She makes me hurl. Like, she's just so unlikable. I don't know how anyone could do it. Because all she does is nag Steven. No, Steven, don't do that. Steven's penis. Oh, Amethyst, how much did you tell him? No, Steven, you can't do that. No, Steven. Steven, I'm going to kill you. Oh, Steven, I loved your mom so much. I loved her more than anything. I'm going to fucking detriment your life for her. I hate your dad, Steven. Like, I would say she's gotten better, but I fucking, oh, I hate her so much. She's just bad. Garnet's just, like, there. Garnet is the most inoffensive one of the main, like, group, so she's objectively the best one by comparison. Because Garnet's whole deal early on was that, like, okay, she was the cool one who didn't talk much, right? I was always given the impression that her voice actor just couldn't act because it never really sounded all that good when she talked. But no, she can. She just didn't talk much. Garnet would do like cool little things. Like, there was a guy trying to interview the Crystal Gems, because like people know they exist. They're not like a secret team or anything. They just don't like talk to people because they don't care. They're like above humans. And he's like, "Hey, Steven, you want to say any like little questions?" And Garnet picks him up and puts him like on top of her big old afro, and he just like sits up there. He's just like, "No, he's busy," and like walks off. She does little like cute things like that, or like when Pearl's doing like sword fighting and like showing how cool it is. Like, now, does anyone want to see a closer demonstration? Steven like tries to put up his hand, and then Garnet puts it down. She just like reaches over and puts his hand down. She does little cute things like that. Like, she always watches out for Steven and is like a better mother figure, but she's like a silent one, you know. Garnet's the cool one, but yeah, fuck Pearl. I hate her. I could go on about Steven Universe for like a fucking hour, but I'm going to sum it up really fast. Bing, bang, boom. Hit you with the three fucking problems with Steven Universe. One, its art style is fucking horribly inconsistent. It's a border-based style, in air quotes, that like the story, like they'll have like three different storyboarders, right? Bitch, Butch, and Boom. Bitch will draw like Pearl with tiny eyes and a really long nose, but Boom will draw Pearl all thick and shit with big lines. So they send those like storyboards over to Korea. And Korea's like, well, if you say so, boss, that's how you want it to be animated today. And they'll just fuck it all up. Number two, the pacing's fucking horrible. I already went into that already. And number three, Pearl gets too many episodes. But the only good thing that I could say about Steven Universe's horrible format is the spoilers, the newest reveal is really goddamn sad and funny. So Rose is, you already know Rose, right?
Yeah, she's the one that, from what I've seen, she was the one that, like, doomed the alien race for, like, that human dick or something.
Well, yeah, I was going to get right into that. So Rose was the one leading the rebellion, the leader of the Crystal Gems, fucked Greg and made Steven. So she loves humans.
And I mean, she loved those humans.
What did he mean by this?
What did I mean by that? So rather than actually, like, do gem shit, she wanted to save the planet. And, like, told Pink Diamond, the Diamonds of the Leaders, who was, like, ruling that colony, to, like, hey, let's leave and not kill all these people. And Pink Diamond's like, ha, nah, fuck them. Literally. And so they just started a war. So she rebels, and they fucking, everyone fucking dies. And everyone who lives is turned into a fucking monster. They get corrupted, right? So the only, like, survivors are Rose and her three goons. So Rose spends all this time fucking humans for 5,000 years. It's revealed later that Rose was, spoiler, not really much of a spoiler, actually Pink Diamond all along, orchestrating this whole event because she wanted to abandon her diamond responsibilities and fuck humans all day. She killed millions. And according to Greg, a lot of people died too. She killed a lot of people. And like everyone and whoever lived got turned into a monster and can't function. As Steven tried to heal Centipede, and she's just like a screeching beast. Like, just like, in pain. All so that she could fuck humans all day. All for some pretty good dick. Shit, Steven, it was worth it. But yeah, Rose is a terrible person.
So, speaking of pretty good dick, that was a pretty good episode. Where we, moted out all this stuff here. Get it, like, dick? Penis.
I get that reference.
All right, so... Yeah, cartoons are,
cartoons are for children. That's why you shouldn't bitch about them like me.
Keep in mind that if, especially you, Alex, if you complain a lot about cartoons, remember, like, you're most likely not watching it in a way that they can track it. If you're going to watch, some cartoon on watch.io.cartoon.gib.free.ru, you're kind of contributing to the problem of shows that get ratings from children getting more stuff.
Now
you're watching it on these weird fucking offbeat. I'll be fair. I haven't watched a single episode of Dragon Ball Super on Toonami either. So like I'm part of the problem. But
now hold it right there. Now, if you watch it on the Cartoon Network app, it still gives ratings. But I still don't watch it on the Cartoon Network app anyway, so I'm still part of the problem.
Fuck. Alright then, so I guess we'll go ahead and end it on there and do the plugs there. You can find the podcast here on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, the website www.lmtya.com, on Twitter at LetMeTellYouPD. You can also send us emails about whatever nonsense you want at letmetellyouabout@gmail.com. That's let me tell you about with three T's. There's a Discord in the description. We're getting ready for E3. I opened up a new channel called Squilliam's E3 Dome. We'll probably do something fun for E3, but that's not for another few weeks. Also, there's a Patreon there. We do the questions of the month each month. Everyone that gives that, I think it's $2? Yeah, I think it's at $2. We have a form that we fill out. We do those episodes, and those are always really, really fun. But yeah, that'll do it. Is there any last thing you want to say, Alex, before we actually for realsies this time close the episode?
An arm wrist is purple.
I don't know what that's a reference to, but I'm going to pretend I do and laugh. Good joke, Alex.